S-R-N.
I'm sorry? What was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god. I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck?
You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Special today is blueberry waffles.
We're sending you back to the future!
What was his name? The Departed.
Flash Gordon.
You mean Dumbo.
Nothing's free in Waterworld.
On an hour, he could have total recall.
And this is England.
The 300 Spartans!
He has a corpse bride!
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
Watching out for the bad boys.
Welcome to Con Air.
Welcome to The Rock.
You have 13 hours in which to solve the labyrinth.
General, I propose we go forward with your monsters versus aliens idea thingy.
Please consider this my 2 weeks notice.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
Hello, welcome to episode 56 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out in the Crespo Diso studio. Yet another wonderful episode. Hanging out with me, as always, is my co-host, Drew Sikogberg. Drew, how's it going, dude?
What up, Chris? How's it going?
Doing all right, man. Oh, I forgot to do this.
Hey! I got the clap pump the booze this time.
Yeah, it's both of us.
Team effort, dude.
So, well, even though we're doing that, even though it started now, shows we want it. This is about being fun. It's supposed to be a fun show, an entertaining show. We're trying to talk about movies in a humorous and entertaining way. But sometimes some heavy shit happens. Sometimes heavy shit breaks less than half an hour before we record, and it's kind of stunning. But Drew, just go ahead and just start with the headline, and just hold on. Actually, let me even kill this music here too, because here we go.
There we go. All right. Well, according to the New York Daily News, Philip Seymour Hoffman,
yes,
dead.
No,
at 46, actor found in New York City apartment with a needle in his arm. The noted actor won the Oscar Award for Best Actor in the 2005 film Capote.
Oh, was previous Netflix pick of the week.
Yeah, he was found dead Sunday of a possible heroin overdose in his Manhattan apartment. Police said they were investigating a death at the actor's home. Alerted to the death around 11:15 a.m. today, Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. A source said Hoffman was found alone with a needle in his arm in the bathroom of his apartment.
He just got out of rehab a few months ago for pills. He said it was for pills. Probably was for pills, because that's all opiates, too.
Yep.
Dude was hooked on opiates, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Not apparently.
Well, apparently, yeah. He obviously now dead with a needle in his arm.
No!
Terrible.
He's so
good.
I'm pretty sure he was just getting ready to start his own, direct his first film. It was just getting underway.
Well,
I don't know if they started filming it yet.
Looks like he was too busy shooting heroin.
No, I mean, obviously he was a functional addict, because he's a very busy guy. He's always working. If he wasn't in a movie, you haven't seen him in a movie, it's probably because he was busy on some stage somewhere doing some Broadway show or you know, something in New York or even in London. I mean, the guy was super in demand. He was extremely talented. And the whole time he was smacked up, man.
Yep. The best of them usually are.
No junk, no soul, man.
Exactly.
That's crazy. And now no more Philip Seymour Hoffman. Damn.
Correct.
46?
Yep. Dead at 46 today.
Oh, that's brutal. He was so good in The Master.
Yeah, he was.
What a way to go out.
See, he was good in just about everything.
What a way to go out.
He was great in Boogie Nights.
And everything P.T. Anderson. He had one scene in Hard 8 where he's giving Philip Baker Hall the business while he's trying to play some craps. He's like, come on, old man. And he's egging him on. He's such a dickhead. And he's also such a greasy dickhead in Punch Drunk Love, another P.T. Anderson joint. He's so good in that one. Man. Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Gone.
Brutal. Brutal way to start the show.
Over.
So, bad news. I'm sure actually by the time you've downloaded the show, it's gone around. Everyone's heard about it. To us, it's fresh.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we record stuff. This will be out tonight at midnight. Damn.
Brutal.
God.
Oh.
It makes it kind of, I almost like I don't want to go on. I just want to sit down now and watch some Philip Seymour Hoffman movies.
You can do that later. R.I.P. You want to watch R.I.P. Pizzle.
Watch Capote. Capote's still on the Netflix pick of the week. Watch that jump up now in views. People are going to get on that one.
Yeah.
He's so good in that movie.
R.I.P.
Then Moneyball. You're just in Moneyball where you played the manager, the team manager. He was, did. He was so curmudgeon-y.
Correct.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, no.
Gone forever.
Take that, opiates and Big Pharma. We're going to talk about you, Big Pharma, in a couple minutes here. With heavy hearts, let's get the show started. Let's have a good time in the name of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes, we will party in his honor.
The show's dedicated to you, man. We were fans. Let's start the Netflix instant pick of the week. Drew, you go ahead and pick it out of the randomizer 9000. Go to Netflix. Make sure it's still on there. While I let people know that they can go to chriscrespo.com. That's where every past Netflix instant pick of the week is, as well as back episodes of Cinema Crespodiso and all my reviews and some blog posts and musings and opinions and whatnot. So Drew's giving us a nod. He's got smiles on his face.
This week's Netflix instant pick of the week is The Day the Earth Stood Still from 1951.
Ooh, the original, because I wouldn't tell people to watch that remake bullshit. I'll tell you that.
The one with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah. Yeah. The Day the Earth Stood Still. Now, what 50?
51.
Yeah, 51. Now, when you watch this movie, people, you gotta watch it through the context of time. That's what separates your normal everyday person who watches a movie, like they just sit down and watch a movie. That's how you separate those people from cinephiles and movie fans, because people will sit down and watch an older film through the quote context of time, meaning this movie's from 1951. All right, so yeah, the acting's gonna be a little stiff compared to the special effects,
non-existent.
No, not that they're non-existent, they're gonna be hokier, but there's still like giant spacecrafts and a giant robot, and there's still special effects going on. You just have to appreciate what they were able to do at that time. Don't be like, oh, look how hokey this is compared to what we have now. You gotta be like, oh no, this is actually the best that they could do in 51, and considering what they did, it's probably pretty impressive. Like, trying to figure out how they did that shit. Now you can just say, oh, computers. How do they do that? Computers. Before computers, how did you do that? I don't know. An array of practical tricks.
Models.
Models and forced perspective and mirrors and this and that and what have yous and doubles. And,
yeah.
And then, that shit's more exciting, I think.
Men in rubber suits.
So, and this was that another thing, too. The remake. They turned the remake into a kind of a movie about being green and the environment and how, we got to be cool to Mother Earth and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
The original one is more about Cold War paranoia, because it's straight out of World War II, right? So at that point, it's just U.S. and Russia, the USSR. Weapons of mass destruction are on everyone's minds and shit, right?
Still.
And it's kind of, this is, this is where The Watchmen got the idea for, Alan Moore. Got the idea for Dr. Manhattan, or not Dr. Manhattan, but an alien invasion, a fake alien invasion, unites all of disparate countries together, So an alien, it seems like an alien invasion. There's an alien comes to Earth, and he takes the looks like a dude. He actually kind of looks like Ralph Fiennes a little bit, the guy who plays the human-looking dude.
That's cool.
Yeah, he looks a little like Ralph Fiennes. And he's he shows up, and then everything shuts down. Like, all the cars stop. Everything shuts down for a day. So it's the day the Earth sits still. And what the fuck's going on? The army shows up, and there's a spaceship. And then it's all, this big parallel to the Cold War. And he has this line, this, thing. It's alien language, I says. And it's people will recognize, some people recognize it. It's, Klaatu, Narata, Nico, something like that. It's what Ash says in Army of Darkness.
Okay.
When he walks up to an altar and there's a bunch of different Necronomicons and he has to say, he has a thing he has to say. Sam Raimi got that exact phrase from this movie that they did. So yeah, so a little film geekery trivia there. So there you go. Good pick, Drew. Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On that excellent choice of Netflix pick. All right, well, let's get into the box office review, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Let's talk about some. Let's start with the movies that we saw. Can we do that?
Yeah. What did you? What you went and saw? Dallas Buyers Club, right?
Yep. I think
saw
that's
that one's Llewyn Davis is Inside Llewyn Davis even on this.
Dallas Buyers Club is 13. Inside Llewyn Davis is. Whoa! Is it even on there?
Doesn't seem to be on there. Inside Llewyn Davis did not make any sort of list of anything.
That's a shame. Not for the weekend. Barely made any money this weekend, I guess. That can't be possible.
Maybe the only place it's playing is the Enzian.
It is only in a handful of theaters now across the country, which is pretty sad.
I saw it.
All right, so let's talk about Inside Llewyn Davis. I talked about it a few weeks ago.
Yes, you did.
When I went and saw it. But now you finally got to see it. So, yeah, Drew, tell people what you thought about the latest Coen Brothers joint.
It's like you said, it's a very small movie. It's about a day in the life of a dude. It's kind of, you see the end.
Well, his week. Yeah.
Yeah. You see the end before and you think it's the beginning and then you realize at the end, it's the end.
It's a weird loop.
Yeah.
It's
it a is circle. A weird loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, dude plays an asshole with a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Oscar Isaac.
Yep. There's lots of folk music, which mm-hmm. was. Okay, I mean, I'm not really into folk music, but he's got it. He's got a nice voice.
Yeah.
And he knows to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really into playing the guitar. Yeah.
Justin Timberlake looks weird with the beard.
He did look really weird with that beard. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks really strange. So does, kid from the Wonder Years, Mr. Savage. Wait, who's that? Who's the guy who played the club owner?
I don't think that was a Savage.
No, who is he? He looks like Ben Savage.
He looked a little familiar, but I don't know that guy's name.
Anyway. He was in it.
The owner of the Gaslight.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
Where would you? How would you compare it to other Coen Brothers movies?
A lot smaller.
But even like in terms of like how much you liked them.
I mean, it was. I don't know. It had that Coen charm to it.
Yeah.
I think if this movie had been made by somebody else, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But for some reason,
yeah, all the typical
something about
Coen,
those guys. Yeah.
The typical style and the quirks. John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman being all smacked out on heroin.
Oh, speaking of... Oh, no, why'd you have to bring that up? Yeah. Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman, rest in peace.
So, I mean, it was fun. It was worth watching. Oh. I would have liked to have maybe saved a couple dollars, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, so like seen on Redbox, maybe? You would have been fine with waiting for a DVD?
Mm-hmm, right. Totally.
A lot of people would have been fine, obviously, because it's not even in theaters anymore.
Exactly.
They put it out. They're like, no one wants to see this little folk music movie.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Right. It was my second time seeing it. I think I liked it even more the second time, so it was quite good. All right, let's go with what's number 13 movie of the week?
Number 13 is Dallas Buyers Club, which you saw. I made $1.407 million. Mm-hmm. Total gross of $22.5.
No budget. It's probably pretty low budget.
Got no budget.
I could see that one being $15, $20 million. Yeah, because most of the money would be spent on like just getting the right cars and the clothes and stuff, the production design.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure everyone else, like actors, worked to scale. And, Matthew McConaughey is pretty much the only big name actor. Oh no, Jennifer Garner is in it too. I'm sure both of them got paid very little, relatively speaking.
Yeah,
you know, not like they got paid $10 million each for this type of movie. That's not that type of movie. Jared Leto probably didn't get paid very much. I mean, this is definitely the type of movie where these people are in it because they feel like it's an important movie, an important story, because it's a true story about our hero, Matthew McConaughey. Plays this dude. I think his name was Ronnie Woodruff. It's 1985 Texas, and he's like shit-kicking pussyhound Texas cowboy type dude. You know, mm-hmm. He's always at the rodeo, bull riding. He's scamming people for money.
Yep.
He's drinking, banging rodeo groupies and stuff. He's crazy like that, right? And he's also, the movie starts with him like incredibly gaunt.
Okay.
You know, and then pretty, you know, he gets has a work accident. Goes to the hospital, and then doctors tell him, you had an accident, blah, blah, you have AIDS, you're going to die in like 30 days.
Sweet.
And he's like, he's super homophobic about it.
Okay.
This is when, you know, mid-80s, you know, information scarce.
It's a gay disease.
Yeah, there's no internet, there's no public information was scarce, so yeah. He's like, he was really vile, the character, and how homophobic he was about, like, I ain't got that, you know, there's no way. But then, you know, he thinks about it for a little while, and then he goes to the library and he does some research, and then he comes to the realization that I could have gotten it without being gay.
All that unprotected sex.
Yeah. Yeah,
drug use, maybe.
No, he never used drugs. That was another reason why I was like, "What? It can't. I don't even do drugs, man. He drinks beer, but like, I don't do drugs. Actually, that's not true because he snorts plenty of coke the whole time.
Well, even so, unless he's shooting,
but it's not intravenous. Yeah, no. Exactly. But then he's like, "Oh, wait a second. What if I had unprotected sex with someone? It was intravenous. You know, it's a chain, man.
Banging rodeo groupies.
So, or a hooker. I can't remember what it was. It could have been a hooker, I think, because I mean, he loved sex, and." So he finds out he has 30 days, and at the same time, now this is where the movie itself is good, but it's not great, because it kind of tries to do a little too much and really doesn't accomplish, you know, everything it sets out to do, mm-hmm. because it's both about this Woodruff guy and how he evolves as a person in his fight to stay alive, and then also to help other people stay alive. You know, he befriends a lot of gay people and people that aren't like him. He takes on as a business partner a transsexual, you know, which is like, for him, it's insane to even think about to begin with, but he did it for the money at first.
Okay.
For him, it was all about the money, and then he eventually learned, oh, these are people too, just like me.
We all have AIDS.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's the thing that brought them all together, ironically. At the same time, right, when he starts looking for treatment, they introduce this whole storyline about the drug company. It's a pharmaceutical company hooking up with a bunch of hospitals for drug testing, experimental drug testing. And it's all about the AZT, and these pharmaceutical companies are pushing AZT super hard, even though they have a lot of bad effects, and they don't really show, they have some, they give the patients some relief, but in the end, it's too toxic for their blood, and then people end up needing blood transfusions anyway. But the company was still pushing super hard, and it was because there's money to be made behind it. Obviously, there's money in the cure, right?
No, there's no money.
Money in treatment. Yeah, right.
Money's in treatment, not in the cure.
Money in seeking the cure, but not in the actual cure. Correct. Right? So it's all about them like dragging that shit out. And so Jennifer Garner is like the doctor at the hospital, like, who sees this and like, this is wrong, blah blah blah. You know. So there's this whole side thing about, and then it ends up being about Ron Woodruff, and he goes to Mexico and gets a whole concoction of all different drugs that are, it's not that they're illegal in America, mm-hmm. they're just unapproved by the FDA.
Yes.
And they have been proven to work in other countries, but mm-hmm. the US FDA hasn't approved them yet. So he got his whole bunch of them up. First he gets them for himself because he's on the verge of death, but this guy, this disgraced doctor helps him live for a few months. He's like, oh, how'd you help me live with these drugs? He's like, oh, how come, let's get these in America. And then he's like, you know how much money you can make? So they both decide, let's just make money. So at first it's not even a humanitarian effort.
They're just trying to make money.
They just want to make some dough. Yeah, exactly. And then the Dallas Buyers Club, where that came from is what happened was a bunch of groups of people in big cities started getting all these unapproved drugs. They smuggled them into America. Once you got them in America, you were good to go because they weren't illegal. And they weren't selling the drugs to people. What they were selling were memberships to a club. And so Ron was like, pay me
for... So you come to the club and you get the drugs.
Give me $400, you're in the club. And, oh, by the way, we have all these drugs and you can, as much as you need, you know, we'll hook you up with. It's just a flat fee. You're not buying drugs, you're buying membership. And they got away with that for a little while there. And he was running this like little backwoods business out of some shitty little hotel, two motel rooms actually. And then it's a fight with the FDA. And it's a very interesting story, but it just felt like it could have gone harder one way or the other, either in character development in terms of how he changes his view, you know, because while they do show the evolution of him, it wasn't that detailed. Mm-hmm. They kind of skipped over. It felt like he changes pretty quickly along the way. They could have gone harder on that, or they could have gone harder on the whole the government's just trying to make money on the sickness thing.
Yeah.
But instead, they kind of went with both of them together. And it
kind of wash out.
A little bit. It feels like just a little bit too much. You know, they try to tell a lot in only 2 hours. It's still a good movie. It's well made. McConaughey is amazing. Anyone who says, you know how, because, all right, so he's been nominated for Best Actor.
Correct.
He won Golden Globe.
Yes.
A lot of people are very dismissive about that because, like, oh, he lost a ton of weight and he's playing a guy dying of AIDS. That's like the typical formula.
So he pulled a Christian Bale.
Yeah, right. A Christian Bale times Tom Hanks.
Or Tom Hanks, yeah. Right.
It's like, oh, so it's a very cynical way of looking at that nomination. I think people who say that are people who haven't seen the movie.
Oh, definitely.
Because now that I've seen the movie, I mean, the dude totally deserves the accolades. He's been on such a crazy run of great performances that this almost feels like it's a nice cap. And being nominated for this is like a nice cap to almost like he's being nominated for everything that he's done. This, Wolf of Wall Street, Mud, you know, just going back to the last year or two, Killer Joe. He's been on a run of amazing stuff. And he's great. Great in this movie. He goes through a lot. Jared Leto, too, is also very good. I don't know if his performance is necessarily, you know, like award winning, but it's still really good, you know. So,
well, good for him. He's a decent actor, I guess.
He is a decent actor. He can turn it out sometimes. His music is a whole other.
No, I don't want to talk about
that. We'll save that for Crespo Disco maybe one day.
Or maybe, what, like the worst of
things that we hate most for whatever reason.
Yes.
That just turns us off. So, Dallas Buyers Club, I would say, you know, and this now, finally, I've seen now all 9 Best Picture nominees. So, that list is done for me finally.
So, what's going to win, Chris?
We'll talk about that in a bonus episode soon enough when we make our picks and make some bets. We got to make a bet. Last year we pushed, man.
Yes, we did.
We're going to have to change the handicap a little bit. Might have to drop it a bit. You know what I'm saying?
We'll see.
Well, I think we will see. Well, we will see, dude. So I'd say with Dallas Buyers Club, it's definitely... you can see a matinee of it, or else just wait for DVD, wait for Redbox. You don't have to rush out to see it in a theater, but it's still definitely see it. It's really good. People that might be hesitant to see it because of the subject matter, you know, just see it. It's a good movie. It's an interesting story. You'll be glad that you saw it when it's all said and done. So,
all right, I'll check it out.
Yes, there you go. DBC, Dallas Buyers Club. All right, Drew. This top five is this is terrible.
Yeah, it blows big fat chunks.
This is a bad weekend,
and nobody made any money.
No, well.
It's Super Bowl weekend.
It's Super Bowl weekend. Super Bowl weekend historically has been the second or third lowest grossing weekend of every year. The 3 worst weekends every year for box office. Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
And
4th of July.
No. 4th of July is a monster time for movies. That's when the biggest movies come out. Blockbusters. Michael Bay and Will Smith movies come out 4th of July. I think it's the second week of December, either the first weekend or the second weekend. One of those two is historically, for whatever reason, no one releases new movies. It's just a dead zone for films. It's really, really strange.
Let's change that.
We should change that. There's no reason why there couldn't be a good movie coming out.
Drop Blockbusters on those weekends.
Let's drop Blockbusters in December, yo.
Yeah.
But no one's dropping Blockbusters Super Bowl weekend. Because what are people doing today?
Watching football.
Watching that foosball. So go team.
All right. Yes, whichever team that may be.
So we can stay relevant for a future broadcast.
Number 5 this week, Lone Survivor.
Well, you skipped a new movie, though.
Screw a new movie.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a new movie, though.
That movie Labor Day came out. It made $5.3 million.
That's a Jason Reitman movie, like I mentioned.
On a budget of 18.
Last week. I mean, Jason Reitman's a pretty good director.
And he got dumped on Super Bowl weekend.
And then his movie got dumped on Super Bowl weekend. So when he made it, no one had really much faith in it, I guess.
Nope.
That's kind of a shame. So Labor Day, that should have come out on Labor Day. Why did it come out on Super Bowl? Even Labor Day is a bad movie weekend. They should have just gone and dumped it on Labor Day, right?
Might as well.
Fools. All right, moving on.
Number 5 this week, Lone Survivor. Weekend gross $7.16 million. Total gross $104.85 on a budget of 40.
Man, Lone Survivor, the army fetishistic snuff film to fulfill all your American desires and... I don't know.
Kill the darkies.
It's just such a brutal movie to watch.
Yep, there's lots of tall heads and they all get shot and they kill a bunch of Americans.
Man, I guess that's how they want you to think, you know.
Yep.
Darkies and tall heads and stuff.
It worked.
I guess apparently it did.
I hate for the sake of hating.
Just because he had to kill those white people?
America.
Were they all white? Wasn't one of them supposed to be Asian?
I think so. It should have been.
I mean, the picture
totally wasn't.
In the picture he looked Asian.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure in the movie he was Emil Hirsch.
Emil Hirsch is not Asian.
Or Ben Foster.
Neither of those guys are even remotely Asian.
Lone Survivor. A lot of people died. I don't know. It's
Eric Bana gets blown up with an RPG in a helicopter.
That part was crazy. Spoiler alert. The Hulk doesn't Hulk out.
No, not in time at least.
All right. It's the number 4 movie.
Yeah, number 4 is The Nut Job. That weekend grossed $7.6 million. Total gross of 50.2 on a budget of 42. It made its money back. crappy little animation.
Well, it made its production budget back. You got to always remember then.
I double it. Heard it so many times.
All right, that's good.
Just, sick of you telling me.
Let's just move on.
Number three this week. It's that awkward moment, Chris. That awkward moment when you can't tell if it's a chick flick or a dude flick. Yeah. We can gross a $9 million. Same as a total. Budget of only $8 million, so it made its money back.
It's going to make its money when it gets released on DVD.
So does that mean there's going to be that awkward moment dose?
No, starring
less famous people?
No, not with this opening week.
American Pie presents that awkward moment too.
A little rebranding, cross promotion.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen. Well, there you go. That's Michael B. Jordan, who I like. He was in Fruitvale Station.
Yep, Chronicle. That Miles, whatever.
Apparently,
dude.
He was in The Wire. Miles Teller, Spectacular Now.
Which is really good in that.
Great movie, man. People should check that one out when it's DVD. And then that Zac Efron guy,
who I think is kind of popular. He got peed on by...
Man, you've
got
to be mentioning him being peed on every time
because
Zac Efron.
Now it's a thing.
It is a thing.
It is a thing. Now it's a bit.
It's a bit for the rest of his life.
Yeah. He got peed on by...
In 30 years, when he turns it around and he becomes a great actor and wins all these awards, we'll be like, hey, remember
Nicole Kidman peed on you.
Nicole Kidman peed on you in a movie on the beach. Yeah, well, that was cool. I don't know. That's for Nicole Kidman fetishes and pee
Talking
fetishes.
About that awkward moment.
That awkward moment when you get peed on.
By Nicole Kidman. In
a Lee Daniels movie that's not The Butler. Man, all those Lee Daniels movies are being...
That would have made The Butler even weirder.
If Oprah peed on
if
The Butler.
If somebody peed on somebody.
What if Oprah peed on Cecil Gaines? That would have been... Or Terrence Howard, because he was trying to get some of that with his...
That'd have been funny, too.
With his gap tooth, or he was, like, missing a tooth or something.
Something like that.
It looks so weird. What are we talking about? That awkward moment? Why did this movie... why does this movie even exist?
I don't know. I can't tell if it's a chick flick or a dude flick.
It's a chick flick. It's a chick flick for chicks who want to see a movie about dudes.
Or is it a dude flick for you to bring your girlfriend to... Because it's a half and half. Is it a half? I think it's a half and half.
It's a half and half. It's like, listen, we made a chick flick, but it has a bunch of dudes. So you don't feel like you're at a chick flick, dude.
But you are.
But you are, sucker. Man, it's Super Bowl weekend. Don't you wish you're at home watching Team A play Team B?
Go football.
Go team football. Oh, our UK listeners, we're talking about
American football,
which I know they use the hands. Don't laugh at us. It's just the way it is, man. You guys have cricket, so relax, all right?
Seriously, you want to talk about weird games?
It takes 4 days to play cricket. People think baseball is boring. That awkward moment where you confuse football with football and a cricket bat for, let's just move on.
A murder weapon.
Yeah. I was thinking, no.
Be a really nice murder weapon.
What?
It's nice and flat.
The manager for Spinal Tap, and this is Spinal Tap, he walks around with a cricket bat. That's his thing. And there's a nice montage of him like breaking shit with
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Number two this week is Frozen.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay.
Still out there.
Damn.
It made $9.3 million. Total gross of $360 million.
That's crazy.
It's been on the top five for the last 11 weeks.
It's one of the highest grossing Disney animated movies. It's the highest animated movie of 2013. But people just... Pedro Lima didn't like No Frozen.
No, he hated it.
He hated that one. You can go back to episode... And listen to that. I forgot which one.
Me too.
Episode 50-something.
I don't know.
Just go back and listen to them all and find them with Pedro Lima. It's a funny
one.
The
second one with Pedro Lima, or is it the third?
The second one, the most recent one.
Okay.
If you listen to the first episode of Pedro Lima, that's when he totally shits on Man of Steel, and it's hysterical. Even if you like the movie, it's hysterical to hear him shit on it. And then the recent one, he totally shit on Frozen. That's awesome.
He hated it.
Johnny the Hater is the one who's supposed to come over and shit on things, and Pedro's doing his job, man.
Could they not shit on things?
Pedro the Hater. I like that much better. No, Pedro's the dream killer.
Yes.
Shout out to Pedro Lima. Follow him at Rican Gorilla. Yeah, man, that Frozen, the Disney. Goddamn, guys.
It's a lot of money.
Goddamn, guys, that's a lot of money. Good for
and
you.
And the number one movie this week. Your favorite, Chris.
Your favorite or mine?
No, not mine. Kevin Hart, Ice Cube, Run Along. We can gross $12.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Total gross of 92 point, might as well call it 93 on a budget of 25. So it made a shit ton of money.
My brother saw this.
And what did your brother think?
He said that there were
What did the other Crespo think?
The other Crespo said that there were some laughs. It was kind of funny, but you know, it was it could have waited for a DVD or that type of thing. But he was also in the middle of a movie marathon, so he was seeing five movies in a row.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he was having himself.
Having himself a little movie crack out.
Yeah, he was. Well, that's how he does it sometimes. He's a busy guy. He's always working. So when he gets a day off,
$50 movie rock.
$50 movie rock.
Hey, smoking that $50 movie rock.
No, I don't think he's smoking any movie rocks. $50 movie rock?
Yeah, man. He's going on a binge. Smoking a big old fat rock of movies.
I guess so, if you want to put it that way.
I do.
All right. Well,
I did.
Well, he said it was okay. So I'm just going to wait for him. I'm just going to wait for DVD now, because, I mean, it's already been a few weeks, and, you know, it is what it is. We got some decent movies come out in February, I think, so.
Oh, already got two movies I want to see this weekend.
All right, well, first we're going to talk about new movies coming out on DVD. All right, so coming out on DVD this week.
On DVD.
Surprisingly.
This week.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Really?
Yeah.
It's already, wow. It's already coming out on DVD. It's still in theaters, and it's already on a DVD.
Yeah, they're
it's
not.
Crazy.
They're not waiting for the Oscars. They're just going to go ahead and release that pre-Oscars. So.
Boom, in your face.
Go ahead, people. Go ahead and check that out. About Time, that romantic comedy about the dude who goes back in time by hiding in the closet.
You know, I wanted to see that movie until I found out what it was about. I was like, oh, that's cool. This kid can travel back in time. What's he going to do, lame?
He saves his dad at the expense of his marriage.
He's going to spend all of his time traveling powers trying to get in some girl's pants.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, well, you know what?
Lame.
Actually, you know what? That's pretty honest. Because that's what I would do. Escape Plan comes out on DVD, which I think is a fun little movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I think it's definitely people should check that on DVD, Redbox or whatever. It's a cool little movie. It's not necessarily an action movie. It's more of like a men in prison, like trying to get out type of thing. You know, it's more of a puzzle film than
yeah, but it's a really short puzzle and a really easy puzzle. There's like, I'm talking like 15 pieces here.
They do solve it pretty easy. Yeah, it is like one of those big ones that you get for like ages 3 and up.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, which is cool. They can still those can still be like 3D lenticular puzzles. They can still look cool. They're just easy.
Yeah.
Still. That Freebirds movie, which is the animated movie that came out around Thanksgiving.
About the turkeys. It's lame.
The Thanksgiving version of The Nut Job, which is out now. Baggage Claim, that's the one with Paula Patton, and she plays a stewardess who I think she just has to have a man or something like that.
Oh, lame.
Yeah, let me just check anything over here, because they also throw all this TV and stuff that no one cares about. No one cares about Little Vern and Shirley.
Nope.
Seventh season.
Uh-uh.
Because the seventh season's coming out again, I guess, on DVD.
Good for it.
No, that's something else. Yeah, so there you go. Those are pretty much your new movies on DVD this week. And Dallas Buyers Club is obviously the one where I recommend people check out. And Escape Plan. So there you go. What's come out in theaters, Drew?
Well, if you're into crappy movies...
I am!
Vampire Academy comes out.
Okay, you know what?
Mean Girls.
No, not even that.
Mean Girls was good.
Not even that.
It was funny. I enjoyed it. And it's done directed by the same guy.
Mark Waters.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, he did direct Mean Girls. He also directed a couple of stinkers, too. So
The Spiderwick Chronicles?
Yeah, so he's only as good as the material. Now, the writer is his brother, Daniel Waters.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Waters wrote Heathers.
Okay.
And after he wrote Heathers, that made him a hot kid in town.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, and that landed him Demolition Man.
Weird.
He's a crazy guy. Both those movies very satirical.
Satires. 100%. Demolition Man is huge satire.
So that's what I'm thinking is Vampire Academy. The first trailer I saw for this is interesting now. We talked about this with that awkward moment last week. The first trailer I saw for Vampire Academy totally tried to sell it like
chick flick.
No, more like
tweens, Twilight.
Yeah, like Twilight. Yeah, like Twilight. What was that one that just came out? The City of Bones or whatever, Mortal Instruments.
The ones I've been seeing recently, though.
It's like, oh, this is a hip, cynical, kind of satirical movie about high school. And it just happens to have vampires and werewolves, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, they flipped the tone around in the trailers. So I'm holding out some hope. I ain't saying I'm rushing out to see this in the fucking theater. I'm saying
when it comes out on DVD,
I am holding out hope that I want to put it on, and I want to be entertained by some snappy dialogue and some fun little twists and turns. Because frankly, Daniel Waters is good. He's good. He hasn't been prolific. He's only written since Heathers. He's written like 7 things. It's been produced. He's probably done a lot of backstage, unseen, uncredited stuff. A lot of script doctoring is what they call it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if for a little while there he was making like $1 million per script edit. You know.
Because
when you're hot in Hollywood, man, they just throw money at you.
Here, take it.
Hollywood. I want to be hot, bro. Come on. Call for me. I'm here. I'm a writer. So Vampire Academy, you know, if it's shit, I wouldn't be surprised at all, you know. But
there's a chance.
There's a chance that it might actually be pretty decent. I wouldn't be surprised about that either. What else is coming out next weekend?
A movie that I've been looking forward to for a while, The Monuments Men, directed by Mr. George Clooney, starring Mr. George Clooney.
All right.
Cate Blanchett, Matt Damon, Bill Murray.
Great cast. Jean Houdin from The Artist.
Yeah, yeah. And John Goodman.
Bob Balaban, who... he was on Seinfeld for a while, he was in the Wes Anderson one, Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, the tiny Jewy guy.
Yeah, with the bald guy, yeah. Bob Balaban. Love that guy. He's great. Yeah, great cast. George Clooney movie. It was supposed to come out in December.
And it didn't.
They announced officially that it was because the effects weren't done. They said, we need time to finish the effects.
Uh-huh.
Some people speculate that it was really because they were trying to get out of the crowded December marketplace.
Oh, I'm sure.
Which Jack Ryan was also supposed to come out in December, and they moved that into January. So people were thinking maybe they just try to get out of there. Other people were thinking maybe the movie, they were positioned in December for some sort of Oscar race, and it's just not good enough for Oscars. So they just went ahead and pushed it to February, you know? So I guess we'll see for ourselves.
And we'll find out.
Why
I plan on seeing it.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely gonna check that one out. Looking forward to it. We haven't seen trailers for it forever, too.
Exactly.
So at least we know for a fact, going to see this movie, we won't see a trailer for The Monuments Men in front of it.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Anything else coming out?
Another movie that I've been looking forward to see and probably going to be my favorite Batman of the year, the Lego Movie.
That comes out this weekend?
Yes, with Will Arnett as Batman.
Awesome.
Lego Batman.
Yay. All right, feeling a little better.
It's going to be, dude, this movie looks fun.
Feeling a little better after the whole Philip Seymour Hoffman thing now. All right, Lego Movie, cool. That's Chris Lord and Phil Miller?
Correct. No, Phil Lord, Chris Miller.
I always do it. Phil Lord.
Yes, Phil Lord.
And Chris Miller.
Yes.
The guys behind...
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
The first
and
one.
And Battleship.
And no, not Battleship. Battleship?
It says Battleship 2012.
Really? Well, I was going to say Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and 21 Jump Street, because they wrote and directed that.
Oh, no, it says that it's perhaps a lesson learned from Battleship.
Wait, what?
Well, it says the buzz says one lesson learned from Battleship for some reason, and it's highlighted... audience don't want classic board games turn into overly serious action adventure tales.
Oh, the IMDb summary thing. Whoever writes those IMDb summaries
so terrible.
Is an idiot.
They're
the worst summaries ever. No, the writers and directors behind Cloud of Chance Meatballs, 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street.
Which is going to be good, too.
They're doing the Lego movie, which, I mean, it looks ridiculous. And it looks like it's CGI, but I think they already did it with Legos. I think it's a mix of real Lego blocks and CG.
That's awesome.
I gotta find that out. But yeah, I mean, these guys, I dig their humor. I think they're really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And they've proven with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and 21 Jump Street that they can both do family comedy really well and
adult comedy
really well. So like,
I think this is totally going to be a mix. I mean,
well, it's still the Lego movie. What's it rated? PG?
PG.
PG, yeah. So this is a family movie.
But still, it's got Elizabeth Banks and Will Arnett. They're very sharp-tongued individuals.
Yeah, I'm sure there are going to be some jokes in there that the kids aren't
going to
understand.
Morgan Freeman's going to be awesome. He looks so epic in the freaking trailers.
Morgan Freeman is he's great, man.
Yeah.
He's great. So there you go. Lego movie. Looking forward to Lego movie and Monuments Men.
Yes.
Well, we got a pretty
decent
movie.
Weekend.
We got a decent weekend coming up. Awesome. Great. Because it's been a shit fest for the most part. So far in 2014.
Yeah.
Anything else coming out? Is that it?
That's all.
We're good to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's take a quick break. I got a Crespo Disco here for you guys. Sort of a themed Crespo Disco. Let me tell you, Jared, let me tell you the artist, and let me see if you can guess where I'm going with this Crespo Disco, okay?
Okay.
One artist is, her name, I think it's Shirley Bassey. I think it's Shirley. Shirley Bassey. And the second one is Tina Turner.
Okay, so you're going kind of soul-y?
Kind of, sort of,
kind of funky,
yeah.
Kind of soul-y,
yeah,
kind of...
Yeah. What related to movies, though?
I'm thinking Shaft, Foxy Brown.
Okay, you're thinking Blaxploitation. I see where you're going with that. Okay, fair enough guess. Good enough, but no. Bond theme songs.
Oh, yeah, okay, word. Yep. Yeah, totally.
I'm going to play the Goldfinger theme song.
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger. That's Shirley Bassey. And then the Golden Eye theme song, which was Tina Turner.
That's a lot of gold.
It is a lot of gold. Yeah, and they're actually both pretty good songs. So here you go, guys. This one goes out to our UK listeners. Because they love that little that James Bond. And Drew's just throwing confetti all over the place now. Netflix instant confetti. And we will be back with the second half of episode 56. Thank you very much for downloading. And here we go.
Goldfinger, he's the man with a Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. You feel for a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He behind. You'll never know the days.
his presence in the crowd. Other girls, they gather around him. If I had him, I wouldn't let him out. Golden eye, not lace or leather. Golden chain. Shadows as a child. You'll never know how it feels to get so close and be denied. It's a gold and honey trap I got for you tonight. Revenge, it's a kiss this time.
Welcome to the second half of episode 56 of Cinema Crespo. So it is still I, Senor Crespo, with Drew Sinkagrin.
How's it going?
How's it going, dude?
Senor Crespo?
Senor Crespo!
Senor Crespo!
It is me, Senor Crespo.
Hello, Senor Crespo.
How's it going?
That was weird.
I don't know where that's coming from.
All right, anyway.
All right.
Hey!
Thank you, thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Remember, you can go to chriscrespo.com.
Chriscrespo.com.
Get us on Twitter at CrespoDiso.
CrespoDiso.
You can email the show at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. And Instagram. Guess that's Cinema Crespo. Drew, where can people get you on Twitter?
At Antera419. Same on Instagram. Nah, it doesn't work unless I'm doing it, dude.
It's
just not the same.
Antihero 419. 419.
Yes.
Not 420.
Nope.
Not 418.
Nope.
419.
418 is one too few.
One too few.
420 is one too many. 421 is just out of the question.
Yeah, now you're just late for the game. Please review us on Twitter. Please
review us on Twitter.
Yeah, review us on Twitter. Go to Twitter,
post a review.
Post a review on Twitter because that's where people go for reviews, right? So while you're also doing that, go to iTunes and put a review on there as well. It'll only take you a couple minutes, please. You can do it super quick, but it'll mean the world to us. You just go on there, right? These guys are awesome. 5 stars, whatever, and then move on. It's easier for us to get more listeners and for the show to get bigger. Believe me, it really helps. You can also leave reviews and ratings on Stitcher as well, I believe. So please do that. And please help the show, right?
Yes, please.
All right. So let's get a little bit back into this Philip Seymour Hoffman business. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
He got his IMDb page, his filmography there.
Starting off in 1991, he was in my favorite TV show ever, Law & Order.
So that's how he started.
Law & Order, 1991.
Film and television wise.
Yes.
I'm sure by that point he was already on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Law & Order. We got to dig out that episode. Law & Order is on the Netflix.
Yep.
We're going to have to find it.
In 1992, he was in Scent of a Woman.
As a matter of fact, wait real quick. That Law & Order episode.
The Violence of Summer from 1991.
From 1991. The Violence of Summer. Violence.
We'll have to watch it.
Of Summer. Yeah, because most of them are on Netflix. So I wrote that down. Okay. What else? What?
Scent of a Woman, 1992.
Okay, right, right.
Money, the first Money for then. Nothing, 93. 94, The Getaway.
Oh, Money for Nothing. Yeah, that's the one with the Martin Lawrence movie, right? Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
And Tim Robbins?
I don't think so.
Or is that the Chris Tucker, Charlie Sheen movie?
Money for Nothing, 1993, starring John Cusack.
Oh, that's not going to be any different then. Forget it.
Think
of nothing to lose.
Yep.
Okay.
When a Man Loves a Woman, 1994.
All right.
Heart 8, 96.
Heart 8, there you go. That's the first P.T. Anderson.
He was also in Twister.
That's right, he was. He was helping him. He was one of the scientist guys. Helped driving him around, trying to do a storm chasing.
Yeah. Boogie Nights.
Again, P.T. Anderson. Fantastic in that. He's so good.
I'm just trying to name movies that we know.
Yeah, the ones that stand out.
The Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski, of course. He was Brent. I actually, because I think I saw that before I saw Boogie Nights. That was when I first, like who's this guy?
Yeah.
Like, Brent. Who the hell is this guy? That was my first time I ever really noticed Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Patch Adams.
Oh, was he in Patch Adams?
Yep.
I only saw that the one time in the theater.
Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
And P.T. Anderson. Right, Mr. Ripley. Right, right.
Almost Famous.
Right. Yep. Yeah, man. Everything that's good has
Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, such a great movie.
Red Dragon.
Yeah, he plays the reporter. You know, on the show Hannibal, the girl that her name is Freddie.
Yeah.
That's the character. That's the same okay. character. That's who he plays in Red Dragon.
25th Hour.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Spike Lee joint.
Strangers with Candy, Along Came Polly.
Strangers with Candy, the movie? He was in Strangers
yep.
with Candy movie? That's funny.
Capote.
Right, Capote. Everyone knows Capote because it was so fantastic, and he was great in it.
Mission Impossible 3.
Well, he played the bad guy. That was a weird follow-up to winning that award, but I guess that was him cashing a paycheck.
Yeah, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
He needed that heroin money, apparently. Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, he was great in that with Marissa Tomei. That was the final Sidney Lumet film.
Synecdoche, New York.
Oh, man, another great... God! So many good movies, and he's so good in that.
Yeah.
All right.
He was in Doubt.
Yep, Doubt. That was another one. It was just fantastic performance by him. And,
Pirate Radio.
Never saw that one, Pirate Radio.
He was in that weird Ricky Gervais film, The Invention of Lying.
You know, I saw some of that on HBO, and I think that movie had a lot of little cameos, like big yeah. actors that popped up for one scene. I think he was one of those guys. I can barely remember it, though.
Moneyball, The Master.
Moneyball, right, we talked about that already.
Late Quartet, remember that?
That's right, Late Quartet, yeah, he was good in that.
He was, yeah.
That's a good little movie.
Hey, Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, and who's the lady? Was it Catherine Keener?
The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Mockingjay Part 1, which is in post-production now.
Okay, so they filmed
and
stuff for it then.
Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, currently filming. So,
ooh, so stuff might not be done. Or maybe his stuff is done. You never know.
You never know.
God, that's how he's going out with Hunger Games movies. Yep. Nothing. There's nothing else there in post-production. Damn. And his movie. He was going to direct the movie, too.
Not anymore.
Ah, so sad. Man, people are going to be talking about this for the next couple of days.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. P.S.H. We love you, bro. Sad. Big Pharma. We blame you, Big Pharma, for getting... Well, I don't know. Who knows? He might have got hooked straight up on heroin.
Yep.
And then switched to pills for a while. And then he got off the pills. So he went back to heroin?
I don't know. God damn.
So sad. So sad. All right. Well, there we go. Let's get into some other movie-related stories here. Drew, I have 4 stories. I want you to just tell me which one you want to talk about first.
Right. Okay.
We got casting news about the Batman-Superman movie. Have you heard anything about that in the last couple of days? Huge casting news. Have you heard anything about it?
Maybe. I was kind of hoping it was a joke.
Okay. So that's one story. We have news about the casting for the new Peter Pan movie that's being made. We have a story about the look for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the new Michael Bay produced movie. And we have a story about a true romance film festival.
Ooh. Let's go with the casting news.
With which one? Pan or Superman?
Superman.
All right. Well. As we all know, instead of getting a straight-up Superman sequel, Man of Steel 2, we're getting Superman versus Batman.
Correct.
Okay. They have cast both Alfred and Lex Luthor.
Okay.
All right. The Alfred choice I love straight up right off the bat. The Alfred to Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne / Batman will be, in my opinion, the great Jeremy Irons.
Ooh, nice. I dig.
Jeremy Irons. Jeremy Irons as Alfred. That's my Jeremy Irons. It's pretty terrible. I admit, it was bad.
That was awful.
I admitted it. I admitted it was bad. Why you gotta be dogpiling on me, man?
It's terrible.
Let's hear your Jeremy Irons. Go.
I don't have one, sorry.
That was terrible. That was the worst Jeremy Irons.
It was even worse than yours.
You didn't bother. So he's Alfred. I think that's good.
Yes. I agree.
I'm looking forward to that. That'd be cool. Lex Luthor, interesting choice. Can't say it's not an interesting choice, Drew. All right, no matter what you think about this off the top of the, you know, and I've gone a little back and forth on it since I've heard about it a couple of days ago, and I didn't want to bring it up to you because I wanted to see if we could make it all the way to the show without you actually finding out somehow. Who did you hear that you thought it might have been a joke?
I didn't hear. I saw some weird, silly things.
Yeah, what did you see?
No, I'm not saying anything. Tell me who it is.
You just want to know straight up?
Yep, I just want to know.
It's Mark Zuckerberg. Jesse Eisenberg.
It was. I was right.
That's what you saw?
Because they had a picture of him, and then they had other people as... it was a picture of Eisenberg.
Yeah.
And then it had a picture of Jonah Hill in a tuxedo with a top hat and a monocle.
Oh, for a penguin?
and then it had Michael Cera with, Photoshop Joker face on.
That's funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, now Eisenberg has officially been cast as Lex Luthor.
You know, he's dry enough. He can play intelligent enough. I'm not sure if he can play evil enough, though.
All of his characters are intelligent. Everyone he's played in movies are always intelligent, fast talking, and they hate the world.
And that is Lex Luthor to the freaking core.
The thing is, he's not very intimidating looking.
No, well, neither is Luthor.
Lex Luthor never really has been very intimidating looking. It was always brain versus brawn with him versus Superman.
Yeah, totally.
Is he gonna look weird with a shaved head? He's gonna have to shave that head, yo.
Yeah, he is.
Gene Hackman did not want to shave his head. If you watch the original Superman movie, he always has hair throughout most of it. That's because he had an assortment of wigs or something. He didn't want to shave his head. He didn't even want to shave his mustache. They had to trick him into shaving his mustache to play Lex Luthor. Anyway, this is the first time Lex Luthor will be played in a movie in which the actor is the same age. The actor is not older than Superman. Henry Cavill is 32 and Eisenberg is 30.
Nice.
So they're pretty much the same age.
Yeah.
Even though Eisenberg looks like he's 25.
Uh-huh.
He looks young. So it's the first time that they're going to be in a movie, they're going to be the same age. Smallville, obviously, they're the same age. And I think in comic books, they've done iterations, obviously. Because comic books, you can do whatever.
Right? Exactly. There we go.
It's Drew. We got to put a hold on the Superman casting conversation. Drew Sakai, Moon vs. the World. It's time, dude, for some trivia. All right, well, there's obviously no guests here.
Nope.
No. Well, we're waiting.
I'll whip my own ass. It's okay.
We're going to be getting into the new SBK studios, the Wall Street studios, pretty soon.
Yeah, yes, we are.
Yeah, they're getting that set up, so that we're going to make that our studio for guests.
Yes.
So once that's all up and running and Kevin shows us the ropes around there, that's when we're going to start having guests on. So it might be a couple weeks before we have a guest on again.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
But it's okay because we're going to be in a really nice place.
Yeah, we're going to be in an awesome place. It's going to be a lot of fun. So in the meantime, a couple sparring rounds for you, dude, just so you can keep those trivia muscles flexed.
All right.
This one, in case you haven't heard, it's the big game this weekend.
Yes.
Some sort of big game.
So, yeah, I think that has to do with balls and feet.
I was talking to my brother today and mentioned the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And... I think he was like, who's playing? Who are the teams? The Packers and the Steelers?
Yes.
And I looked at him like, you know what, man? At least he named actual football teams.
Correct.
That's cool.
As opposed to like the Tigers and...
The Tigers and the Tokyo Dragons.
The Hurricanes.
Yeah. Shout out to my brother. We're doing a football...
centric?
Football-centric version of which made more? I'm going to give you two movies. You tell me which one made more money. You ready?
Yes.
I'll go all football movies. Number one, Remember the Titans or Any Given Sunday?
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans made $115 million. Any Given Sunday made $75 million. So good job. There you go. You got one right. Number two, which made more, Friday Night Lights or The Longest Yard, the remake with Adam Sandler, not the original?
God, I hope it's Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights made $61 million. The Longest Yard made $158 million.
That would be negatory.
Crushed it. They crushed them. Number three, which made more, Varsity Blues or The Replacements?
Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues made $52 million. The Replacements made $44 million.
Nice.
So there you go. Number four, The Blind Side or Jerry Maguire?
Show me the money.
All right, Jerry Maguire made $153 million. The Blind Side made $255 million.
F me.
So there you go. Two for two so far. Two and two. Number five, which made more? The Waterboy, another Sandler football movie, or We Are Marshall? Talking about that McConaughey.
The Waterboy.
Waterboy made $161 million. We Are Marshall made $43 million. So nice. That is very much correct. Which made more? Number six, Radio or Rudy?
Rudy.
Rudy made $22 million. Radio made $52 million.
Both terrible.
Which made more, The Game Plan or Little Giants?
The Game Plan.
The Game Plan, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, made $90 million. Whereas Little Giants made $19 million. There you go. We got one, two, three, four right so far. Number eight. Which made more? Leatherheads or Wildcats?
Leatherheads.
Leatherheads made $31 million. Ugh, pathetic. Wildcats made $26 million. So that's correct. Good job. Number nine. We're almost done here. Which made more? Necessary Roughness. You remember that one?
No.
Necessary Roughness or The Program. You remember that one?
The Program.
The Program made $23 million.
Not enough.
Necessary Roughness made $26 million. Not enough, but just barely. That was almost a toss-up. You don't remember Necessary Roughness?
Nope. Like
the comedy with Sinbad, Scott Bakula, the old quarterback.
Nothing.
And finally, number 10, which made more, The Last Boy Scout or North Dallas 40?
The Last Boy Scout.
Last Boy Scout made $59 million. North Dallas 40 made $26 million. Good job, dude. So let's see. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 10. Not bad. 6 out of 10. Good job, dude.
All right. That's casting.
It's above passing.
Barely. No, it's not. Not according to Florida schools.
Oh, well, if you're going by that, you're going by those standards. So, yeah, Eisenberg is Luther. And,
lame next.
You think it's lame?
Yeah.
No, not excited about that?
No, we'll see. He's going to have to prove it.
Honestly, I think this whole Superman versus Batman movie looks like a complete train wreck from
Correct.
The outside. If it comes out good, I mean, I'd be so happy if it's a good movie. I want it to be a good movie.
It probably won't be, though.
I'm pulling for it. I really like Zack Snyder.
Me too.
I like all these actors involved.
It seems like it's too much. They're just shoving too much into this movie.
And you know what? Rumors. Let's talk a little bit about rumors and speculation that I read online real quick. Uh-huh. All right? Rumored... that they just started shooting principal photography for this movie up north in the Michigan area. Henry Cavill has been seen out and about with his beard is back.
Uh-huh.
And he's been talking to some people. They're doing a 10-month shoot. Most productions, even of that huge blockbuster caliber, 3-4 months of shooting. They're going 10 months.
This is going to be ridiculous.
Why would they need so much footage if they're not doing two movies back-to-back?
Three movies back-to-back?
Oh, no, three movies. Now you're talking about The Hobbit where... Where Peter Jackson shot for like 13, 14 months in a row.
The whole bit.
Yeah, to make all that footage. No. They're thinking maybe. Get this. Okay. Let's connect some dots here. About 6 or 7 years ago, Ben Affleck, Warner Brothers, after he did Gone Baby Gone, Warner Brothers went to Ben Affleck with a script for a Justice League movie and asked if he wanted to direct a Justice League movie.
Oh, God,
that
no.
That was all the way back then. He said no. He said the script wasn't at a stage where he liked it. After Daredevil, he had such a bad experience with Daredevil. He's gun shy on big comic book movies. And he's like, no, I want to do something smaller. And then he wanted to do The Town.
Yep.
Great movie.
Which is good.
And then Argo.
Which is good.
Winning awards, you know. And he's grown as a filmmaker. So In the intermediate time, since that time, we've gotten the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight movies.
Correct.
Okay. And then now the whole even further explosion of comic book movies, right, with the whole shared universe thing that the Avengers and Marvel has introduced, which now has lit the fire under Warner Brothers, but to get this Justice League movie up and running again,
which is what they're
starting to do with now Batman, the Superman sequel became Superman vs. Batman, and they're adding an extended Wonder Woman cameo just so they can build up to a Justice League movie. So now they're shooting for 10 months. They're probably shooting footage for a follow-up Justice League movie to come out the following summer. Okay, so Man of Steel 2 comes out 2016. 2017, right away, boom, we're getting a Justice League movie. Now, in order to pull that off, speculated Warner Brothers is going to have Ben Affleck direct the Justice League follow-up movie. So while Zack Snyder's finishing all the post-production stuff on Man of Steel 2, you know, Batman vs. Superman, whatever the fuck they're going to call it, Ben Affleck, Academy Award-winning Ben Affleck for writing and producing, will be doing acting and directing in a Justice League movie, which he turned down 6 or 7 years ago.
It's going to be god awful.
Isn't that? That's a crazy. It's going to be god awful. It's going to be god awful. This man, you think that'd be just terrible?
God, it's going to be the most terrible, expensive. This is going to bankrupt everybody involved, and it's going to sour whoever's name is involved. This,
oh man,
this is
that
poison.
Bad.
This is poison. I'm calling it right now.
Wow.
Poison.
Oh wow. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I like it. Coming out strong against it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, some of you people poison. Heard it here first. That might actually be happening. Ben Affleck doing a Justice League movie, and if it happens, Drew's calling it
poison.
Poison. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going off Belle Biv DeVoe on their asses.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So that's a little bit of speculation and rumors on the Superman movie. Jesse Eisenberg is now Lex Luthor, and we all agree Jeremy Irons is Alfred's break.
Yes.
You want to talk about the True Romance Film Fest, the Peter Pan movie, or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
Let's go Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. They're making a Peter Pan movie. Do you remember Hannah?
Yes.
The kind of art house action movie, right? And the guy who directed that is this dude, Joe Wright, who before that, his other movies like Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility, shit like that, right?
Okay.
And all of his movies outside of Hannah. Oh, Atonement is this movie he did. All of his movies outside of Hannah were all nominated for Best Picture, yeah. Best Director. You know, he's a very art house type of director, right? Now, he's doing a Peter Pan movie.
Okay.
And it sounds weird as fuck.
Well, art house Peter Pan. Yeah, totally.
So we got some casting news. They cast their Peter Pan. The age range of their Peter Pan is not what he... It's not. He's not a young Peter Pan. But they're not going Robin Williams Peter Pan either. Right in the middle. They're going with a 30-year-old... I think he's like his 30. Maybe he could be in his 20s. We actually just saw a movie. This guy was in Inside Llewyn Davis. You have to, of all the characters in Inside Llewyn Davis, which one do you think would be Peter Pan?
None of them.
The beat poet. The guy driving the car. Garrett Hedlund.
Mm-hmm.
The dude who was in Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
He's Peter Pan. In Pan. I think the movie's just going to be called Pan. All right. Let me read this little bit here to tell you about the movie. Garrett Hedlund's come a long way, blah, blah, blah. He's going to get the lead role.
Wait, hold on a second.
You know, maybe I should have read the article first before I just read the headline.
Awesome.
All right, here we go. Check this out. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Garrett Hedlund has come away with the offer to play the lead role of Hook in Pan.
He's
playing Hook.
Okay.
I thought he was playing Pan. The new take on the classic that Joe Wright is directing for Warner Brothers. Again, another Warner Brothers joint. The script is blah, blah, blah. No one cares about that. Blah, 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 there's something. Oh, Hugh Jackman will play. Here's where I got it mixed up. Hugh Jackman is playing Blackbeard.
Okay. Well, he's a song and dance man.
The captain of the bad guys. They don't necessarily say this is going to be a song and dance movie. Javier Bardem is also mentioned possibly for that role.
Smee?
So they might go. No, not
Javier
for
Bardem. I want Javier Bardem is Smee.
Oh, that'd be interesting. He'd be a giant Smee. It's set for July 2015. Going to be shot in 3D. And, just another Peter Pan movie. Do we need another Peter Pan movie?
No.
That's what I'm thinking. No. But we're getting one, though. With a lot of big actors and that Garrett Hedlund guy.
It's not D-Hoff.
True Romance or Turtles?
True Romance.
True Romance. They are doing a True Romance Festival in Burbank, California. So our California listeners, you guys are out there.
Go.
You guys out in L.A., check this out. It's the first weekend of March, I think. It's March... No, I'm sorry, May. May 2nd, 3rd in Burbank, California. It's the 20th anniversary last year of True Romance. What do you think of True Romance?
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, your favorite movies of all time. Well, May 2nd and 3rd in Burbank, California, you might want to go to this. The event will take place at the Safari Inn Motel, the same place Clarence and Alabama go before their wild adventures come to an end. Bronson Pinchot, you know, Balky Bartokomus.
Yeah.
He is hosting the two-day event. A two-day event, which includes signings, meet-and-greets, parties, karaoke, prop displays, never-before-seen behind-the-scenes photos, and, of course, a sunset outdoor screening of the film with costume contest.
Of course.
So that sounds pretty awesome. Who would have wanted to go to that?
I don't know.
Right?
I want to go.
Right? Gotta go. So if you're out there in California, Burbank, California, May 2nd, 3rd, check it out. Send us pictures. Report back to us. Let us know what it's like, please. Do some field work. Be our field reporters. And then finally, our last story. Someone snuck out some spy pictures of what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will look like. They have models of them.
Oh, do they look lame as hell?
You know, I wanted to show you to get your opinion, but they got took down at the request of the student for spy photos. Yep. You know? All right, so I'll kind of describe them to you. They didn't look lame as hell. They look like the Ninja Turtles, like physically. All right, it's not like they changed anything physically. They still had their colored mask and their shells, and they're green and they're muscular. They look, you know, they're the turtles, right?
Mm. Yeah.
One of them, I think it was Leonardo, he had on this like kind of weird samurai outfit thing, but it was like a really simple one, but it was something like a samurai vest thing and sort of like pants sort of deal. It's kind of interesting looking. Michelangelo for sure is wearing jeans, it looks like, in a way, and he's got like a couple of necklaces on and like sunglasses hanging off of one of the necklaces, you know. It's kind of weird looking, but they still look like turtles. I don't know. What happened was, a week ago, the first thing that came out was a picture of the costume, the Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Based on the movie. And it just looks absolutely horrendous. Because it's a cheap Halloween costume, you know. And it looks like the fucking worst piece of shit ever.
Yeah.
So people freaked out, like, oh my god. And then these spy pictures came out a week later, and everyone was like, oh, okay, it doesn't look as bad as the Halloween costume.
Uh-huh.
But then they took those fucking pictures down.
Yep. Well, it's I'm sure nobody wants them to see that stuff.
You know, they're not going to be... they're supposed to be aliens in this version of the movie.
If it's anything like when they turned the Highlander franchise into aliens, it should be god-awful.
Like, I guess, yeah.
In Highlander 2, there were aliens,
yeah.
And everyone just forgets that movie existed.
When I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, my mind doesn't necessarily go straight to Highlander.
Nope, but when you say turning things into aliens, that's where I go.
Okay, fair enough. Not Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Burgers?
No, that was lame too, though.
They went aliens. I got a couple questions. Here we go.
All right.
Got one from @RageAgainstTwit on Twitter. You said, speaking of Oscars, were we talking about the Oscars?
Maybe.
Speaking of Oscars, what's the difference between Best Cinematography and Director and Best Director versus Movie? You want to feel this one, Drew?
Say what?
You want to field this one?
No, it's okay.
Yeah, you don't
want to? Nope.
You don't want to explain what the difference is between cinematography and director?
I think you can do that.
All right. Well, cinematography is the actual photographing of the film. The guy who operates the camera, he's the one who the director tells him what he wants. The director says, I want to frame this. I want to capture this in the scene. I want it to look like this. Here's what I want the lighting to look like. And it's a cinematographer's job to make the director's vision happen by, you know, setting up the lights, setting up the scene, and setting up the camera. He does all the technical stuff, which allows the director then to go off and do a whole bunch of other shit, because that's what the director does. So the cinematographer is one job, one of the many jobs in making a film, and the director is the guy that oversees all those jobs and tells everyone what to do. And then the producer is there to help the director, so there you go. The difference between a best director versus best movie... Now, see, that one trips me up sometimes, because they'll do this every now and then, where one director will win for, you know, they'll win best director for his movie, but then they'll give the best movie award to a different movie.
Yes, like best director Ang Lee, best movie Argo.
That just happened last year, right? He won best director for Life of Pi. So wouldn't that mean that Life of Pi would be the best movie then, if he was the best director?
Nope.
Not necessarily, I guess, right? Because they gave it to Argo instead.
Yes.
Ben Affleck wasn't even nominated for Best Director.
No.
So, but how can it win Best Picture if he wasn't even nominated for Best Director?
question?
Makes no sense.
Talk to the Academy.
Talk to the Academy. Hey, listen, awards for art is whack anyway. So, but there you go. I can't really explain the whole best director versus best movie thing, why it ever splits, but sometimes it does split. If you notice, whenever the best movie award is announced, it's the producers that go up there and accept the award, yep. Not the director or the actors or anyone. It's always the producers. The people making the money are the ones that accept that award. At Mike Seven Deuce, shout out, Mike Seven Deuce. Wants us to do a Crossbow Dome battle.
Okay.
Danny Trejo's skin versus Edward James Olmos' skin. It's kind of crass, but I'm watching hashtag SOAFX. I think that's Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
And love hashtag Miami Vice.
Of course.
So Trejo's skin versus Edward James Olmos' skin.
Man.
That's some tough skin. Those are some craggly faced dudes.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, with young Edward James Olmos, like 80s Blade Runner era Edward James Olmos, you can see, like, if you take away the hard skin, the craggly cheeks, he's a pretty good looking dude.
Trejo is not.
Trejo could have the smoothest skin in the world.
Still be ugly.
He still looks like a crazy monster man.
Yep.
You know, that you would not want to bump into in an alley.
No. And oh man, ever. And the tattoos.
The tattoos don't help. Giant lady on his chest. Like, no, that doesn't. Nope. No, that's Machete right there.
Yep.
But it's just about all their skins.
Well, tattoos are on the skin.
Tattoos
so,
are on the skin, so his skin
say,
is now. Oh, I guess what the. Yeah,
yep,
we're
Trejo
gonna,
wins.
Trejo goes, he's tattooed. He tattooed that ugliness up.
Yep.
Smart guy. Man, he is an ugly dude. If you're listening though, Trejo, we still love you.
We do. We love you so much.
Well, I know we're saying you're ugly, you know, I fail, but still.
Yeah, you're just not the best looking dude.
You're awesome. Please don't kill us because you're crazy. I guess we're going to do a battle. We did their skin. Yeah.
Trejo wins.
Trejo wins
all around
in a fight.
Oh yeah, totally.
Skin actor. Edward James Olmos is a better actor.
Okay, sure.
He is a better actor. I mean, come on, he's in Blade Runner.
I know.
Okay, and then I got a Billy D question this week.
What does Billy D have to say?
What does he have to say for
all
himself?
The way from NY Sizzle?
Our New York City show correspondent Billy D. You know, teaser with the new studio setup. Hoping that we'll have a way where we can take advantage of the phone.
Yes, and
setup.
So Billy can call in.
We had some call-ins from Billy D and from other people.
No.
That would be a nice expansion to the show.
I think
that'll be a lot of fun. He goes, oh, well, hey, this is an interesting question. Hey, guys, hope all is well. The internet was broken this week by the announced casting of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
Yes.
My only issue is that Eisenberg can't, quote, mumbly asshole his way through this. Thoughts? Much love, Billy D. From microwave, excuse typos and or burnt popcorn spell.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks,
and,
Billy.
Yes, we already went through this.
Mumbly asshole. Well, he's talking about how, because that's what he does.
Yeah.
The fast-talking asshole thing. But I think that could actually
that
work.
That is Lex Luthor, though.
That could actually work as Lex Luthor. So more concerned with him having to shave his head and not looking like an idiot.
Oh, he's going to look like an idiot.
Like a giant man baby.
He's going to look like a giant man baby.
Giant? Yeah.
He's going to.
He's
going to
be a scowling giant man baby.
Yep.
Hopefully he'll I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. It's going to be... It's poison, I'm telling you right now. That movie's poison. I love me some Bobby DeVoe.
There you go, people. You can isolate that, turn that into your ringtone.
Go for it.
Drew will appreciate it. Every time Drew calls you... That'll come up. Which will be never. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening. Oh, this is the part of the show where people stop listening.
Yep.
And we can talk about whatever. At the 50% mark, people stop listening forever ago.
Exactly. So who's going to win the Super Bowl, Chris?
I don't know. The team that scores the most points.
I think it's going to be the team that scores the least.
Oh, I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet any day, for sure. Yeah, you know, man, it's, oh, but you know what, okay, you know what I'll use this time for?
Huh.
For people that might be still listening?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to do this on Twitter. Because it's the end of the Super Bowl and the football season. Next week, I'm opening up the Crespity So Fantasy Baseball League. So it's that time again, Fantasy Baseball. I already have people asking me about it. You're giving me this look. I mean, you don't have to be a part of it. You don't care, Drew.
I don't.
I'm just letting people know that it's going to be opening up again. We already got one person who's definitely in. People that were in last year, you can get back in if you want.
You guys have fun with that.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. Just like we did with the football, with the fantasy, with the baseball, football, Crespo Dito. The winner of that, Brian up in Canada, got himself a special swag bag box.
All the way up in Canada.
All the way up in Canada. You got a swag bag and plus extra stuff. So whoever wins Baseball League, you'll get something similar. You'll win it. The winner of last year's Baseball League didn't get nothing because that
we were poor.
No, it was because I won it.
So you didn't get yourself anything?
I got myself a pat on the back because I won the Baseball League.
Good job, Chris.
Yeah, so keep that in mind, people, when you sign up. I ain't fucking around.
He might come and give you a pat on the back if you win.
If you win, you'll win a pat on the back.
By Chris.
Or, ooh, we'll do like a box. Like, we'll send them a box. When they open the box, it'll be like a spring hand and it'll come out and we'll just put instructions on the box. Make sure your back is turned to the box when you open it and it'll go like bing, bing, and it'll pat you on the back. You know? But if you don't do that and you're just looking at the box,
it'll
smack you in the face and that's a lawsuit. So we got to make sure big letters on the top of the box.
Point towards back.
Point towards, open towards back.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, it does. Now we're just killing time.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the end of episode 56. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, everyone. Remember, you can go to iTunes and rate and review the show. Go to chriscrespo.com. Check out the reviews and hit us up on Twitter at @IamChrisCrespo and @antihero419. And so there you go. See you guys next week.